Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer günstig und natürlich mit dem Aldi-Tiefpreisversprechen. Zum Beispiel knackiges Gemüse, saftiges Obst, frische Backwaren. Kurz gesagt, mehr Frische für alle. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote zum Tiefpreis in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love, I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name is Chris Lambert.
And my name is Travis Bain, and today we're talking about Free. Sixies. Four E's.
Yeah, but you know, you have the freedom to add as many E's as you want.
I think so.
We thought this was going to be maybe our shortest episode that we've gotten to do.
And then we spent about an hour talking about the intro of the song.
Yeah, just an hour on the damn intro.
But again, you know, when you follow Kanye as close as we do, everything starts to fit together and make sense.
Yeah, there's layers, man. There's layers. I feel like every time I talk about Kanye, that it sounds like I've taken a lot of marijuana.
Yeah, man.
Taken a lot of marijuana. That I've smoked a lot of weed.
That makes it very clear that you have not taken any marijuana.
Right? And I'm just like, the layers, man. Like, you just got to look at the layers.
He's trying to say so much of that Marcus Garvey speech, man.
Oh, he is indeed. So the narrative up to this point on Kids See Ghosts is that we start in a place that's a bit more aggressive, much in the way that we do on Ye. With Feel the Love, instead of getting Kanye actually talking about feeling love, you just get aggressive, like, grat, 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 grat. Which isn't saying anything, but comes off as much more intense than what you'd expect from that kind of song.
And it says everything, Chris.
It says everything. The same thing happens with Fire and Fourth Dimension, where Kanye is in more of an aggressive place and more of an aggressively sexual place.
I done proved it myself. Back on that ruling myself, I got new news to tell. Act like you knew you done fail. Only you know I was. She seen it made me always feel like a boss. She said I'm in the wrong hole, I said I'm lost. She said I'm going too fast, I'm exhausted. Now drop to your knees for the offering. This the theme song.
And these things mirror what we're also seeing happening on Ye. Where Ye starts with I Thought About Killing You, that has this internal strife. Fire gets at a lot of the aggression that the bipolar brings when there's the mania. And All Mine continues that ego and mania and kind of sexual aggressiveness.
See, y'all really shocked, but I'm really not. You know how many girls I took to the titty shop? If she get the ass with it, that's a 50 pop. I still bring the bad bitches in the city, y'all. Just is gonna leave you. Hey, time is extremely valuable, and I prefer to waste it on girls is basic. That's just some yay shit.
So to see Fourth Dimension and All Mine mirror each other in that contents, there's some interesting things going on there.
Yeah. Our general theory is that these albums overlap in a way to where Ye is more of the external experience, you know, everything we see Kanye going through on the surface and all of the relationships he's either fixing or ruining or whatever. But Kids See Ghosts is very internal in him working on himself and looking at how his external actions impact his soul, you know, impact who he is and just who he'll be moving forward, and how he will, basically his relationship with himself, which is, and Kid Cudi's really doing the same thing throughout this album, to where, you know, on Feel the Love and Fire, it's very introspective. And then on Fourth Dimension, we see him, you know, being off the ropes and going Ric Flair and fighting back, and just all of that building to Free is really interesting from both looking at Ye and also looking at just how Cudi's playing into that whole dynamic.
Yeah, Cudi on Kids See Ghosts, we've talked about him almost feeling at times part of the narrative, but also the narrator of the narrative, in the way that Kanye's parts on Feel the Love and Fire show almost no larger awareness, where Cudi does seem to have that macro concept for what's going on around the characters on the album, to where Fire, despite his verse being in line with Kanye's verse about the trials and troubles that you get in relationships, you have the outro that's much more thoughtful about seeing these scars that you've left behind on this road to hopefully a better state of being. On this road I find these scars I left behind. Heaven lift me up. And as you're saying on Fourth Dimension, the first half of his verse comes off very much in line with Kanye as being somebody that's plagued by these ghosts. But by the end of the verse, he's come more into that almost a breaking of the fourth wall, where he's looking back on and commenting on the progress that they've made, and that Kids See Ghosts are off the ropes. Like, they're making positive strides. All the evils in the world that keeping on me for real. I really hope the Lord heard me. We all live in sin. Can see ghosts off the ropes. Ric Flair on your beers. Now just a theme song. Just a theme song. I like that dynamic.
Yeah. Which is pretty interesting heading into Free, which I think if you read through the lyrics of Free, or if you think about the way it sounds, just on the surface, I think a knee-jerk reaction to Free is that, okay, you're ready to be at peace. You're not going to let all these people bring you down anymore. You're just going to be you and not worry about anyone else. But thinking about how Fourth Dimension ends with Kid Cudi fighting back and going Ric Flair, there's also an element of it that is slightly, I don't want to say aggressive, but embraces ego in a way and embraces self-empowerment and not being shy. That all of that is mixed here in Free, and it really gets at the idea of what free means. Free doesn't mean like necessarily just peace and love and, like, you know, just being humble and keeping to yourself and not being loud and proud and out there in the world. The song is almost an embracement, actually, of being loud and proud. And to them, that's what feeling free is fighting back against those ghosts and not feeling tied down to a place.
I think what we see too is that there's a line between that, like, that you have a line of how does the ego fit into that, and where does pride and fighting back fit into feeling free? Because we hear on Reborn and that ego is such a part of the problem, and Kanye has said that after the fact, that he's had to kill his ego, get over his ego. We see how the ego affects him on the early parts of Ye and even the early parts of Kids See Ghosts. But it doesn't necessarily mean, as you're saying, that there's no place for pride or passion in that way. You don't just have to be nothing.
Yeah. And I think that transition from the end of Fourth Dimension into this speech from Marcus Garvey really gets at that, and how it's getting at the knowledge of yourself and how just being true to yourself is the most important part. Something to you to give you a true knowledge of yourself and life. Man in the full knowledge of himself is a superb and free creature of creation. When man becomes possessor of the knowledge of himself, he becomes master of his environment.
Yeah, this, okay. So this Marcus Garvey speech has, I mean, it took us an hour to get through all the layers of what's going on. And part of that is because of who Marcus Garvey was. Dude was really active in the 19-teens and 20s into the 30s. And he was highly divisive.
And he comes to Harlem and he speaks this bold language, this tough language about Africa for Africans, and that Africans really ought to plan to go back to Africa, that we don't owe the white man anything and they don't owe us anything. I mean, this was different language for African Americans in the top of the 20th century.
On the one hand, he gained a lot of followers for talking about self-empowerment, and especially in terms of black race and black culture in America, saying in the speech that's Kanye uses, Garvey was going to be sent to prison for fraud. He had started a shipping line called Black Star, where the whole point was to have business and shipping, but also to create these transportation lanes to take people back to Africa.
One of Garvey's major projects was the Black Star Line Steamship Corporation, through which people of African descent could acquire and man their own ships and gain the respect of the mercantile and commercial world. We have in the past been living on the mercies of others, he said, and have therefore suffered. We will continue to suffer if we do not take charge of our own affairs. For 1 year he gave over his entire self to talking about the Black Star Line, trying to influence people to buy stock in the company. He didn't handle the money himself.
There was this pro-Africanism that Garvey was celebrating, and this buildup of positivity regarding like black culture and black pride. And in this speech that Kanye quotes, he goes on to say a lot of things about how black men will hate themselves and they need to stop that, and they need to like take as much pride in themselves as other races take in their own race and their own like being, and that once they do that, they will be empowered.
I'm only here and not in the gutters and in the pond of despair because I use my intelligence. And I swear that no man alive shall ever use his intelligence in understanding the works of nature more than I. I shall rise as high as he ascends. I shall meet him on the same platform of mental equality and fight him till thy kingdom come, because nature created us equal.
And in the speech, he talks about Mother Nature has granted us everything. She's deprived him of nothing. He was given the faculty of understanding all things around him, and his faculty for understanding has not been taken away. None of his senses have been taken away, so there is no excuse for the black man in lacking the knowledge that man has used to beautify the world and produce all that he needs for his happiness and civilization. Which can be very empowering, but on the flip side of it, Garvey was so much a proponent of segregation in a way that black people need to just be with themselves and empower themselves, that he ended up siding a lot with the KKK and actually had gone to a conference with the KKK and trying to work with them. And he stated at one point, I regard the Klan, the Anglo-Saxon clubs and white American societies, as far as the Negro is concerned, as better friends of the race than all other groups of hypocritical whites put together. I like honesty and fair play. You may call me a Klansman if you will, but potentially every white man is a Klansman as far as the Negro in competition with whites socially, economically, and politically is concerned, and there's no use lying. So other black leaders in America at the time were very against Garvey.
Because he preached black separatism and urged his people to return to their place of origin, he was often at odds with other black leaders and the white establishment.
As they viewed Garvey's stances as being really problematic when it came to desegregating and just having everybody be one, I guess, mm-hmm. and part of a society that's beyond race, So you're getting, I think, beneficial points of view from Garvey, but also the context of the problematic view that Garvey brings. But the other layer that comes into play is Mos Def and Talib Kweli. Their initial group that they put on together was called Black Star. I said my hat and keep on making it. Brooklyn keep on taking it. So relax, we're taking it back. Red Hook where we're living at. Much in the way that Kanye and Cudi's group is Kids See Ghosts. Both are individual artists, but when they work together in that way, Black Star was the name they went under. And Black Star was a direct reference to Marcus Garvey's Black Star line of shipping. There's a polarity that's set up between Garvey and how he viewed everything versus how Mos Def and Talib Kweli viewed everything coming out of the 90s into 2000, 2001 when they released Black Star. And it's also an album that talks about empowerment of self and being better, but also saying that of the culture. It's really wanting that divisive hip-hop culture, divisive Black culture, to get over the things that divide and look at the things that unite. Not strong, only aggressive. Not free, we only licensed. Not compassionate, only polite. Not who the nicest. Not good, but we'll behave. Chasing after death so we can call ourselves brave. Still living like mental slaves. Hiding like thieves in the night from life. Illusions of oasis, making you look twice. Hiding like thieves. But doing so in a much more liberal leaning way, I think, than Garvey's politics, which I think seem to be more inclined to a lot of right-wing commentary these days. So you're getting that contrast between Garvey and his pros and cons, and then Black Star, Mos Def and Talib Kweli, and their pros and cons, and it gets specifically into a song by Black Star called Knowledge of Self. Writing is fighting, but what they writing, God is clashing like titans. It's not exciting, no question. Being the Black man is demanding. The fire's in my eyes and the flames need fanning. The fire's, which seems very much inspired by Garvey's speech, given that they reference Black Star as the title and also at points throughout the album. And you get lines like so many MCs focusing on Black people extermination. We keep it balanced with that knowledge of self determination. Knowledge of self is like life after death. With that, you never worry about your last breath. The most important time in history is now, the present. They trying to lock you down like Attica. The African diaspora represents strength in numbers. A giant can't slumber forever. There's stuff here about both the individual and the collective awakening to do something more, but maybe not necessarily in the segregational way that Garvey was proposing.
And I think it's interesting to note that both of those attitudes, while they're on these sort of separate ends of the spectrum in a way, both seem to capture what Kanye's tried to do over the last few months and tried to say. You know, when he runs into TMZ and says crazy shit like slavery was a choice, what he means to say, you know, the intent of what he's saying isn't too far off from that message of knowledge of self, of not being in a mental prison. But at the same time, I think it gets more at that attitude that Black Star had, this more youthful, love everybody type of attitude where you don't separate yourself. You more, that separatism comes more with you and you not feeling pressure to act a certain way or to be a certain way or to be part of all these politics or part of all the beef that's existing in hip-hop. It's about just being true to yourself. And what do you know, Mos Def is in the song Kids See Ghosts. Civilization without society, power and wealth with nobility, stability without stasis, places and spaces. It's this idea that you build your own realm, that you truly do become a master of yourself. You don't need the radical politics, you know, the nationalism of Marcus Garvey to find that civilization, to find stability without stasis. You know, you can still be yourself without holing yourself up in some corner and regressing. I just think it's so crazy that even though Marcus Garvey and Blackster sort of are on polar opposite ends in a way, what they're both getting at, that knowledge of self dynamic, is all part of what Kanye's been doing when he runs into TMZ and when he says to John Legend, like, you're putting me in a prison. And it gets at the entire idea of free. I feel like it's not about being a certain way or doing a certain thing or purporting a certain image. It's just all about knowledge of self and building that civilization for yourself.
Bei Action gibt es immer extrem niedrige Preise. Diese Woche 7 Paar Sneakersocken aus nachhaltiger Baumwolle nur 1,99 oder Palmolive Shampoo 350 ml nur 1,11 €. Angebote, die richtig glücklich machen. Für noch mehr extrem günstige Preise einfach in einer Action Filiale vorbeischauen oder in der App stöbern. Action, kleine Preise, große Freude.
I think it also explains a lot of what he was trying to do with the MAGA hat. Or MAGA hat, whatever you say with those fucking stupid hats, with the hat as well. And that he was trying to say, you need to love one another. You need to have conversations with each other and understand where one another's coming from. You need to try to unite people. Where Garvey talked a lot about knowledge of self and loving of not just yourself, but one another in the race specifically. I think Kanye heard that and thought, why does it just have to be one race? Like, can't we do this as Americans? Can't we just do this as humans? And wanted to try to show that love across the political spectrum. Wanted to try to show that love just in general of when you love each other and when you respect each other, like their freedom and their beliefs, and you end up empowering everybody in a much more beneficial way because people care about each other. You're not going to have that same degree of hate or antagonism within the group. It's just going to be love.
I feel an obligation to show people new ideas. And if you want to hear them, they go to right here. Make America great again. Had a negative perception. I took it, wore it, rocked it, gave it a new direction. Added empathy, caring, love, and affection. And y'all simply questioning my methods.
But it didn't quite work out maybe how he had hoped when going about that. If that was indeed his intent. But I think when you look at having Garvey at one end of things and Taleb and Mos Def on the other end of things and what's there in the middle that they're both saying and trying to find how can you, like, despite their differences, they're saying the same thing and there's power there. There's connection there. They don't have to be in antagonistic positions.
Yeah. And I think it's also great that because so many people said, after Ye came out and after Kitsy Ghost came out, they were disappointed that Kanye didn't address the TMZ comments and didn't explain his behavior for all these months. And again, we see it here as we did in Wouldn't Leave. He does in a much more artistic way. He almost uses Marcus Garvey to show, like, this is what I was trying to say. He lets Marcus Garvey say it in this really eloquent way, and he only picks up the part of Marcus Garvey's speech that gets at the general idea of knowledge of self that applies to Blackstar as well, you know, free of all the radicalness of everything Marcus Garvey said. He captures the core of what Kanye was trying to express. And it's just like, here, this is what I was trying to say before he heads into his chorus.
One of the funny things is the hook on KOS, or Knowledge of Self by Blackstar, is things I say and do may not come quite through. If you look at what Garvey's saying and then you jump to Knowledge of Self and get that right there, it explains what Kanye has been saying.
Yeah.
About everything that went down. Like, I didn't express it right. Like, it's hard to express all the things that I'm thinking and feeling at once. Coincidence?
People can keep saying it's all coincidence, I guess.
Yeah, they're free to do that. I guess so. I guess they are. So yes, this knowledge itself that comes in, and aside from all the context and layers of Marcus Garvey and Black Star, if you're just looking at this idea of knowledge itself, that's why this song is a tipping point on the album, because it seems to be the divide between showing Kanye as not having any knowledge of self on Feel the Love, Fire, or Fourth Dimension, versus the knowledge of self that we see him talk about when it comes to, what's the next song? Reborn, Kids See Ghosts, and Cudi Montage.
And looking at, I mean, just in the context, like, trying to strip away all of that extra shit and just looking at what the album's doing and the transition from Fourth Dimension to Free. Fourth Dimension ends with that outro from a Shirley and Lee song.
Just do that and then let the music do something and then do that again. That'd be enough for a record. I mean, you only want 2.5 minutes if you can get it, you know, 3 minutes max.
Basically, he's saying he's coaching Shirley and Lee on how to make this a song, how to take this idea that Shirley and Lee has for a song and turn it into music. And that's kind of what Free does. We have this transition into Free and it explodes in a way that this album really hasn't so far. You know, there's only been this kind of brooding beat, or there's been the creepy Santa and Jester laugh that's in Fourth Dimension. It's very chaotic, and then Free just carries a different aura. You know, it really does feel like they're ready to be free and make music that expresses themselves.
And there's something to that idea echoed in I Thought About Killing You, where Kanye says the most beautiful thoughts are always beside the darkest. And you get the ramping up of music in the song, where each time he says the most beautiful thoughts are beside the darkest, at first there's silence following it. The second time there's a few hums. And then the third time the hums take on more of an intense musical quality to them. Like, you can feel that there's more going to happen.
The most beautiful thoughts are always beside the darkest.
And as the song builds, music finally kicks in for the last third. And there's a darkness to the production of the first three tracks on Ye before you get to Wouldn't Leave, where there's a beauty that comes in, there's choirs that come in for the first time.
For any guy that ever fucked up, ever embarrassed they girl, ever embarrassed they wife.
And the same choir of voices kind of effect, or at least the harmonizing effect, we get that on Free as well. Some of these dark songs that we've had building up to this point have finally brought about something beautiful.
Yeah.
Art. So much fun.
So much work.
So much fucking work. So we start with the chorus. Kanye declares, I don't feel pain anymore.
I don't feel pain anymore. Guess what, baby? I feel free. Woo! Nothing hurts me anymore. Guess what, baby?
You may wonder if there's concepts of pain that have been talked about leading up to that declaration. And I think they kind of come through with Feel the Love. It may be more of a reach, but if the lines are, I can still feel the love, the question that comes from that is, what would you be feeling like it through, or what would be there that makes you think that there wouldn't be love? And I would argue with this context that it's some kind of pain. And we know with the context of leading up to the albums, all the controversy Kanye had caused, and him saying that these things had like rocked him, hurt him, caused pain, that you can get the implication there. With Fire, you have Cudi just straight up in the second part, or in his verse, saying, "It's so many days I prayed to God. I prayed to God, all this pain I couldn't seem to find a way. On the mission, live it, carry on. Got my family, I'm seeing through by the days. Never late." So pain's outright talked about. You can even make some absurd case that Fire is something that hurts, that causes pain, that you can have your hand in the fire, which kind of resonates with Ghost Town and putting your hand on the stove and feeling pain from that, but not being able to feel the pain anymore. I put my hand on a stove to see if I still bleed. Yeah. And nothing hurts anymore. I feel kind of free. You know.
Just loose connections.
Yeah. Just giving a little bit of context to that line if you want to look for some of the context throughout the rest of the album and albums, if you include Ye in that.
It's too bad that on Ghost Town, Kanye didn't do some scat.
Just a little bit of scoop?
Yeah, a little scoop-de-whoop-de-poop.
You know, as somebody that doesn't find the word poop all that funny, I mean, it is a funny word, but I'm glad we don't have poop on any of the albums.
Yeah, scoop is a nice medium.
Yeah. So we get Guess What Baby, I Feel Free, followed by The Scoop. And there's a lot of context brought about with The Scoop now. We know that it relates back to Lift Yourself and the trolling of Ebro in the morning. Where we're expecting this fire song, he builds it up like these lyric, like these next lines, like get ready, and then it's just poopy de scoop, scoop de de whoop, whoop de scoop de poop, poop de scoop de scoop de whoop. Followed by him using it as an ad lib on What Would Meek Do, when Pusha T asked Kanye, like, you know, haters are talking shit, Ye, how do you respond? And Kanye's first response is just like, I'm going to troll them. I'm going to dismiss them. There's something like kind of negative or aggressive about the use of scoop there, where when he says it here, it almost feels less aggressive and more just that like, yeah, I can just fucking say scoop. Like, scoop-de-whoop, I can have lyrics like that. How fucking, like, free am I?
Yeah, I mean, it goes beyond just, like, trying to apply, like, a specific meaning to scoop. It just is sort of inherent to this point that you have the freedom to make a song, like, Lift Yourself, to not need to explain your actions and put everything into nice, concise words for everybody so they can understand how you're feeling. Just feeling free to say scoop is, I mean, that's pretty liberating.
Scoop.
De-whoop.
Scoop. We just need to release an entire episode that's just us saying scoop. Scoop, scoop, scoop.
I feel like we kind of did that for our Lift Yourself episode.
God, that episode's so fucking bad.
Yet amazing.
Is it?
Amazingly bad.
Or is it the best thing we've ever done?
It's like the question of, is The Room a good or a bad movie? Like, is it so bad that Tommy Wiseau should feel ashamed of himself? Or so bad that he accomplished something that no other human will ever be able to accomplish and should feel proud of that?
Yes.
Yes to both.
Yes to both. So we get the one verse on this track, and it starts off with Cudi saying, "I'm so complete in the mode. I'm so complete in the mode. Guess what, baby? I feel free." Which is one of these Cudi lines, which I guess he's feeling free, but it makes no sense to me. I mean, I get kind of what he's going at, but as somebody that really likes the logical flow of words,
Yeah,
it's that infuriates.
That's what it is for me. Is like, I get what it's trying to say, but if I had to actually explain it, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Right? Like, I'm so complete in the mode. Like, I guess in the mode, he's complete, or
so you're trying to explain it. You can't do that.
Yeah. No. He's just, the key thing is he's complete. There's that. He's just, that's it.
He should have said in the mome, like in the moment.
Right? I'm so complete in the mome.
That would have been a good lyric.
Yeah, right? Like, what are you doing in this mome? The mome? Like, moment? Come on. Get with it. All right, so back to the mome. Guess what, baby? I feel free.
And you know damn well,
he lit me up every time that I fell. It set me free.
And you know damn well, and this is Kanye that comes in now. He lift me up every time that I fell, which is now Ty Dolla $ign coming in.
There's a lot of people here.
So we get, yeah, three voices really mixing together, with Cudi just having that first line, Kanye having the next, and then Ty Dolla $ign taking up most of the verse. He left me up every time that I fell and set me free. Yeah. Which, given how this album builds up to Cudi montage and like this call out for God to shine his light on you and or shine your light on me, Kanye, us, all of us, and save us. It seems that he would be God. But if you're putting this in context to Ye, then we know that the he's and you's on Ye have a multiplicity of meanings.
Today I seriously thought about killing you. I contemplated premeditated murder. And I think about killing myself, and I love myself way more than I love you, so. Today I thought about killing you. Premeditated murder.
I thought about killing you. We talked about how there are the multiple meanings of you. That it's Kanye talking to himself, it's Kanye talking to these other aspects of his personality, Kanye talking to Jay-Z. So I think there's an argument that could be made that this is as much about the self as it is about God.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a whole other argument to be made about who or what Ty Dolla $ign represents on this song, if anything.
Yeah, that mostly comes from what he represents on Ye. He comes in on All Mine, and well, him and Aunt Clemens both somehow embody the same individual and have like these different tones to them, where Aunt Clemens is almost romanticizing this gratuitous sex, and then Ty Dolla $ign just comes in like, yeah, you know, he's just like kind of aggressive and takes control and all that. And then it transitions to Wouldn't Leave, to where Ty Dolla $ign comes back, and it almost represents that same entity, you know, that Yeezus side of Kanye. And it comes to represent a balance Kanye's trying to find of himself, to where this one side of him, you know, the Kanye side, the one that everyone sees and the one that's screwing up the marriage and wants to fix things, you know, that side of Kanye who's saying like, oh man, like for all the women out there who stuck with their husbands and like through thick and thin. But then on, you have Ty Dolla $ign coming in random parts saying love me or hate me, like keep that same energy. Like it represents this other side of Kanye, and it represents him learning to balance both of those sides and to be one healthy, realized individual.
For any guy that ever fucked up, ever embarrassed they girl, ever embarrassed they wife, she told you not to do that shit. She told you you was gonna fuck the money up. But
you ain't wanna listen, did you?
Keep that same energy. Keep that same energy.
Now you test.
If you're bringing that element of Ty Dolla $ign to this song, you could see it again as, like Chris was saying, just he representing this other side of yourself and just again being more complete and being more in tune with who you are.
Yeah, that you have the Yay aspect of Kanye and the Yeezus aspect of Kanye, which is more of the manic, ego-driven parts of his personality in conversation here, the same way that they were on Yay, and having Ty Dolla $ign take on that role, which I'm glad you mentioned that he says love me or hate me on Would It Leave, because we get Hold Up, Let 'Em Politic, ooh, one day they hate you, next day they love you.
You should quit your job to this.
So on both songs, you get Ty Dolla $ign saying love you, hate you.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Wouldn't Leave is on the surface and very candidly about Kim. But Ty Dolla $ign coming in and saying love me or hate me, it does allow the song to expand. And not that the song isn't doing this, a lot of the song is addressing his relationship with the public as well. You know, so Ty Dolla $ign's part expands to that in a way. And of course, that's coming into play here. Because Kitsy Ghost isn't specifically ever about Kim. It's just about the relationship Kanye has with so many different people.
Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App Auka Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App Auka Navida downloaden und loslegen. Auka Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Yeah, I don't know if Kim is really mentioned in any way on this album.
No, I don't think, if anything, Kanye is pretty specific about just they, you know, this other entity that is, you know, talking shit about him. It almost exclusively actually seems to be about the public or about the think pieces or about some other rapper who's saying something about him.
Which, I mean, if you're looking at Kitsy Ghost as the internal scape, we know that he feels more comfortable with Kim, or that a lot of the things that are driving his behavior are his negative behavior or controversial behavior is how much he's overthinking celebrity, his relationship with the public, what's demanded of him. And trying to get away from those things and just get back to husband, father, and self.
Mm-hmm.
So it would make sense then that Kitsy Ghost is caught up in the thing that gives him the most stress, which isn't his family, but the outside world.
And he does say, Ty Dolla $ign says, hold up, let him politic. It's almost whatever Ty Dolla $ign represents, it's encouraging Kanye to not get caught up in the politics, to let them politic, let them bring politics to what you're saying, let them love you or hate you and argue about that. Like, you don't have to be part of that, you just have to express yourself.
Yeah, there's something like really big about that idea of let them politic and what you could take away from that and express that. As you said, like, it can be with Kanye himself and how they break into politics over him. It could be him just saying, you know, you don't have to solve the crisis in politics and try to bridge the gap the way that you tried to do. Like, you can just let them do their thing or just let you be yourself.
Yeah.
And we seem to get a little bit of that Yeezus attitude coming in at the end. I'm still yelling, fuck you. I could never trust. And that thought isn't allowed to be finished, which, if only we could connect that to something.
We can't, though, so we should just move on.
That's right. Oh, wait. I just had a vision of an elf.
Chris, I'm not going to let you finish the sentence.
That's probably for the best. Fourth dimension. At the end of Kanye's verse, he says, this the theme song, Oh Something Wrong. Might need an intervention for this new dimension. That's too new to mention. Won't fit in a sentence. If I get locked up, I won't finish the sentence. And there's a jailing that happens, or a confinement. He's getting locked up, and that means that he won't be able to speak anymore. And then shows that sentence gets cut off. But we do get a reference, or at least a resonance with, that's too new dimension or fit in a sentence, with the lines from Knowledge of Self Determination, or KOS. I'm so used to the refrain of just Knowledge of Self Determination repeating over and over in that track that when I say it, I just start to say the word determination. It triggers it. Things I say and do may not come quite through. My words may not convey just what I'm feeling. So there's even foreshadowing of Knowledge of Self with what he's saying at the end of Fourth Dimension. So you get the line being cut off here, which the easy connection would just be that, like, him yelling, fuck you, I can never trust, that he's getting jailed the same way that we saw on Fourth Dimension. But in the context of this song and feeling free, what cuts him off is his own voice. It's the opposite of being jailed. It's the sense of, instead of being almost jailed by these feelings of having to yell fuck you and this lack of trust and these negative things, he's just letting it all go. And by gaining that sense of freedom from all of this, he doesn't even have to finish the sentence.
Yeah. I mean, you pretty much hit the nail on the head that who's interrupting Ty Dolla $ign? Ty Dolla $ign, by saying free, to whereas on Fourth Dimension, he's interrupted by this insane Santa sample where you wonder if your actions are going to be viewed as good or bad by some otherworldly entity. Like, it's not about that anymore. It's about feeling free in this song is being okay with the way you act.
Yes. Yes. Not having to worry about it, not having to worry about not just okay with yourself, but how other people, like, speaking on Ye, right? Like, they'll speak on you and you just have to accept it.
Which, like, man, isn't that crazy? Like, even trying to put yourself in those shoes, that, like, everybody has an opinion on you and, like, everything you do gets scrutinized and gets a giant article written about by Ta-Nehisi Coates, and it's just, imagine living that life and getting to the point where you can feel free. Like, you aren't affected by those. Not that you're not affected, but you don't let it define you.
Right. It's like, yeah, that still hurts, but whatever. Like, I don't have to fight back against it. I don't have to let it, like, define how I'm feeling. I'm master of myself. And that's something that Garvey talks about, is that if you want to focus on the negative, you can focus on the negative. If you want to focus on the sunshine and having, like, opportunity and doing this, you can focus on that. In that speech that he gives, that's one of the major parts. And I think that's kind of the spirit of what's going on here. You can focus on that or not.
Mm-hmm.
So then Cudi comes in, and just how Kanye had said, I don't feel pain anymore. We get Cudi saying the same thing.
Hurts me anymore. Guess what, babe? I am.
baby becomes babe. Huge implications that no.
We thought about it.
We thought about it. We talked about it, but no. And then Cuddy comes in with the bridge, feeling out of my past life. Past life. Died and came back twice. Now I'm and knowledge itself, once again. knowledge itself is like life after death. With that, you never worry about your last breath. Death comes, that's how I'm living.
Yeah, and just that whole idea of life after death and how that's comes to represent so much of what Kanye talked about on Ye leading into Kids See Ghost. How becoming a kid again, all that means is having a renewed look at life. Coming out of this bad behavior of this bad time and being ready to be different. Like, to him, that is like being a kid. It's starting fresh. And that's the whole journey of Kids See Ghosts. You know, there are these ghosts around you and you're just trying to become a kid. You know, you're trying to become this person who moves past the ghosts and past all that past behavior and start fresh.
Yes. And Talib and Mos have the lines.
At exactly which point do you start to realize that life without knowledge is death in disguise? That's why knowledge itself is like life after death. Apply it to your life, let destiny manifest. Different days.
Coincidence.
Yes. Absolute coincidence. I bet Kanye's never even listened to Black Star. and then Cuddy just follows up with, I don't feel pain anymore. Guess what, babe? I'm free. I feel free. I feel free. We get that beautiful kind of refrain with Ty Dolla $ign and Anthony Hamilton coming back one last time. That concludes the song.
Yeah. That was pretty impressive, actually, that we managed to talk about a song with not that many lyrics for 45 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know. Does that earn us an award?
No, because we probably should be doing that for every episode, but I'm proud of us.
I am too. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of me. I'm proud to all of our listeners for actively listening.
Oh, you know what? It does earn you a prize, actually. Jay-Z will give you a back massage.
I'm in.
And Khaleesi will work your feet.
I'm doubly in. Very in.
Yeah, okay. So you can listen to the bonus episode if you want more of whatever this is.
We'll be going over our favorite lines, the moment that made us say, wait, Kanye, what? And where this song ranks in all the songs that we've covered, which is something like 93 now.
Something like that. Yeah, and if we have any news on Khaleesi, we'll get to that. We're not sure.
Never know with that guy.
No. But he's always doing something, so there's probably something to talk about.
And if you are enjoying the podcast and want to help us out, there are a few ways that you can do that. Do you have a personal favorite way, Travis?
You know what? I like people to just go to iTunes and give us a rating. That's really nice.
Simple. Rating and subscribe helps us with visibility, show up on the charts, all of that stuff. It's a quick and easy way to support. Also following us on Twitter, at Kanye Podcast. If you want to throw some money our way, we have a few options for you as well.
Yeah. First of all, being patreon.com/Kanye Podcast, where you can donate as little as $1 a month, whatever you can afford or you think we've earned. And it the more money we make, the more we can do with it. We've set monthly goals and $50 increments. So we hit 200, 250, 300 each time we hit these increments. We can improve the show in some way, and we will also film a short film based on a Kanye song that you choose. So if you both like us and like to torture us, then this is a great way to help out. Right now we're working towards a $250 goal that will get me Logic Pro, correct?
Yes. The $200 goal is we're in the process of hiring somebody to design us a new logo. And $250, you get Logic Pro, which makes editing and recording that much smoother.
Yeah. And then past that, the $300 goal, I don't even remember.
Is that editing? We'll have more information on that once we once we get close to it. We need to get to $250 first.
That's true.
And hitting that $200 goal, we're going to make a film based on Ultralight Beam, which is going to be a lot of fun. We have the first draft of the script ready to go. Now just have to do more, some more edits and get it polished.
And then figure out how the hell we're even going to film it.
I got a camera, and you are thousands of miles away from me.
Yeah, so it should work out great.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we're most excited about doing the short film is that Patreon, like everybody's going to be able to watch it, but supporters on Patreon are going to be able to help contribute, whether it's just inserting lines of dialogue into the script, giving options where we say, which shot do you like, or should we use in the final cuts, even getting to be stand-ins, not stand-ins, but recording some scenes or dialogue as extras. So we're going to have opportunities for Patreon supporters to be involved in the project.
Yep. And if you also want to support us, say that again. Another way you can support us is we have a book on sale called The Yeezus Book, where we go through the album Yeezus in every which way, shape, and form. You know, from the narrative on the album to the production of the album to the to the tour to just pretty much anything that made Yeezus, anything that help put the album together, we cover.
Yeah, that's why it's called The Yeezus Book.
Sure is.
And the book came out through Kingshot Press, and it's not only me and Travis, but Donald Martin from The Most Unruly and Martin Connor from Rap Analysis. So you get to support the work of five content creators, counting the publisher, with original artwork by this guy Fabian, and it's awesome art inside the book. It works as not only a complete deconstruction of the album and the tour, but also as a collector's item coffee table book.
Looks real rad.
Yeah, you can find it on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, or Kingshot Press.
Yep. And if you go to WatchIntoThrone.com, we also have t-shirts on sale. One Runaway themed and one Hold My Liquor themed. There's both a clean and explicit version of the Runaway shirt. And the Hold My Liquor shirt is super dope.
It is. And we should probably get the Yeezus book for sale on the site somehow.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a good idea.
Yeah. One day. That's the $300 patron. No.
We can put a link on our website.
Yeah. What great goals we have. But at the end of the day, just listening is very beneficial, so thank you for doing that, and until next time,
keep it loopy.
I'm so reborn. I'm moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Ain't no stress on me.